Good morning. It's been a busy sporting weekend, of course. Sadly, the bikes in the news again for a very bad accident at Tandragee. Let me speak to Stephen Beacom. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Very well, Stephen. A reminder over the weekend of how dangerous road racing is.
Yes, at the Tandragee 100, poor Dario Sansone, an Italian rider, he's 38, Frank. He was involved in an accident and he's now in a critical condition in hospital. So hopefully Dario will pull through. Our thoughts are with him and his family at the moment. He's a really popular rider on the circuit. He's one of the few Italians that does the Irish road racing circuit. And it was one of those unfortunate things. Apparently two riders were involved in the crash. Obviously Dario was one of them. It happened on the final lap of the senior support race at Tandragee. Thankfully the other rider is unhurt, but Dario is going through a very tough time at the moment in hospital, and as I said, he's in a critical condition.
Is this just the start of the road racing season?
It is, yes. The Tandragee 100 was like the first race of the 2017 Irish national calendar. Next race is Cookstown, which is another fantastic outing for all the riders. They love it. And the whole thing starts. You've got the North West coming up. You'll have the Ulster Grand Prix later in the year. You've got the Isle of Man TT. And we just hope and pray that all the riders come through all of those meetings safely. And we hope and pray that Dario pulls things around in hospital.
Yes, our thoughts are very much with him at the moment. There's no talking to the riders or those who support the sport. They never see the dangers.
Well, what they see is the adrenaline, the passion for the support, the desire to get out on their bikes, and for the spectators, they want to see these incredible men racing around on their motorcycles. Listen, I've talked to a lot of motorcyclists over the years, and recently I talked to probably the most famous one in Northern Ireland, Michael Dunlop, and Michael Dunlop basically, he tells it how it is, and he tells it why he wants to get out there. I know you've interviewed him yourself, Frank. And it's his desire, his passion, it's in his blood, and that's the title of his autobiography. And if anyone wants to know why a motorcycle racer wants to get out and go through this dangerous sport, read that book called Road Racer. It's in my blood. It's an amazing read, very honest, brutal as well. We all know the dangers out there, and we all know that there have been deaths in the past, too many, unfortunately. But the saying goes, they're a hardy breed, and nothing will stop these boys from getting out on bikes, even whenever they've had an accident. And I admire their bravery and their courage. It's certainly something that I wouldn't do. But, you know, there's thousands upon thousands of people in Northern Ireland who support this sport. And, you know, it's a fantastic event to go to, Frank. I love going to the bikes. It's just an adrenaline-fueled ride, even if you're not on the bikes. And, you know, it's incredible to watch. But unfortunately, accidents do happen in this sport. And the riders, they do know the dangers whenever they go out there. But it doesn't stop them going out there because they have this incredible love, this intensity and this passion for motorcycling.
Yeah, you sum it up so well. As a fan, Stephen, and as a reporter who's been following it for years, I often say I was sent once by UTV at a point whenever they were sponsoring one of the races, and we were very closely involved with it at the North West. And I have to say, I literally couldn't watch it. I could not believe what I was seeing at the speed of those bikes going past me. It was my one and only encounter with road racing. And I've got to know a very good friend in recent years through the purchase of a car, a man who sponsors road racing. And we often have conversations about it. And, you know, him and I are on absolute opposite sides of the coin in our analysis of that particular sport. But as I say, I was speaking to Michael Dunlop and doing that interview, and the very first interview I was ever involved in television, Jackie Fullerton took me almost on in a work experience capacity to the home of Joey Dunlop. And I remember sitting in his garage and the interview being carried out and being absolutely impressed and amazed by the gentleman who was Joey Dunlop. And I can't help but feel that we've lost too many great people to the sport.
Well, we have. There's no question about that. But it's what they want to do, Frank. It's the love of the sport. It's the love of trying to cross that finish line first. And it's the love of trying to go as fast as you can on the bike. And, you know, to me, it's one of the most exhilarating watches in sport that you can have. I've watched just about every sport there is, and I've been lucky enough to cover every sport and event that would be classed as a big sport and event. And I love going to the Northwest 200 because it's just a brilliant spectacle, and the riders are giving their all. And I suppose as well, Frank, like, other sports are dangerous too. You know, like, if you think of cycling, without the engines, there are sometimes deaths in cycling, and then boxing, of course, and rugby and horse racing, you get serious injuries. Heck, even in cricket, Frank, there's been deaths, you know, so a lot of sports have their danger. But yes, I completely understand that motorcycling is one of the most dangerous sports out there. It's also one of the most exhilarating to watch. And in terms of the riders being involved in it, they love it so much. And we should never underestimate their bravery or their courage. Some will call them mad as well, but these guys are tough men who go out on a bike and try and race for a living. Some of them don't make too much money, but they still do it because they have that love in it, and it is in their blood.
You sum it up so well, Stephen. I'm not going to argue anymore with you. What about the Blues? They're going to win all around them.
Well, Linfield are massive favourites now, Frank. What a turnaround. You know, all season it's looked as if Crusaders were going to win three titles on the bounce. They have been absolutely fantastic. But on Saturday, there was a transformation in the league title race. Linfield went to Coleraine, they went a goal down, and they won 5-1. The job David Healy has done there, Frank, is sensational. Make no mistake about it. We all know Linfield are considered the biggest club in the Irish League. But when Healy went in there, it was tough going for him. And he was under pressure. But he has shown what an excellent young manager he is. I've a lot of time for Crusaders and what they have achieved over the past few years, but it just seems maybe they've run out of gas. There's one match now left for both teams. Linfield go to Cliftonville on Saturday, and I know Cliftonville don't have a manager because Jared Little has gone to Sligo Rovers, but believe me, the Cliftonville players won't be making that easy for Linfield. I can guarantee you that. There's a lot of pride in that dressing room. And those boys will be going out to beat Linfield. And then Crusaders, they have to do the business whenever they're playing their final match. Ironically, though, Frank, Ballymena beat Crusaders. Who manages Ballymena? David Jeffrey, the last Linfield manager to win the title. So
he's still a hero then.
Yes. Well, someone said he's won another title for Linfield. But this will be David Healy's title and Linfield's title. Jamie Mulgrew is the captain. And their performances in the last couple of months, Frank, have been outstanding. So if Linfield do win it, no one can take anything away from them. But you know what? It's the final day of the season. There could be another twist. There could be another turn. And I know David Healy won't be counting his chickens yet. And Stephen Baxter, Crusaders manager, an outstanding manager, certainly won't be giving in just yet.
I was going to ask you about the FA Cup semi-final, but you're out of time, Stephen, aren't you?
Fair old Manchester City.
You're out of time, Stephen.
I don't know who felt the more worse yesterday, Frank, yourself or me, because Liverpool were an embarrassment. And now it looks as if Manchester United might finish fourth instead of Liverpool. But Manchester City, I think this is a really poor season for them, actually, when you look at it, because Pep Guardiola, for the first time in ages, isn't going to win a trophy as a manager. And to me, that's pretty poor, given the investment that he has produced this over the summer, and the players that he has at his disposal. He's found the English league a lot tougher than he thought. And, you know, there's still a lot of talk around Manchester about Sergio Aguero's future. If Pep Guardiola gets rid of Sergio Aguero, and I know how much you like him, I think he could be under serious pressure at the start of next season.
Totally. I think Sergio Aguero arguably is the greatest player City has ever had in the history of the club. Stephen, you say that United might get fourth. United might get third.
That's true. Well, there's a massive match on Thursday night, Frank, Manchester City against Manchester United. And Mourinho, you know, it may not be brilliant football to watch. It may not be the entertaining Manchester United of old, but he's certainly getting them results. And that Man City, Man United match on Thursday night is going to be an absolute cracker. I would go as far to say this. I don't believe that Manchester United will go into that match thinking they're going to lose. My hunch is Pep Guardiola has to come up with one of the team talks of his career to get City up again after the disappointment against Arsenal yesterday in the Wembley semi-final. So Pep, it's on to you, my friend. And if Man City lose against Man United, well, do you know what? Maybe Man City might be dropping out of the top four. It's that tight, it's that interesting, it's a fascinating race. And I think Thursday night's derby is going to be an incredible match to watch.
Yeah, I'm just checking my diary here. I think I'm off sick this Friday.
Well, listen, if Aguero's fit and firing and, you know, the City fans are up for it, and they should be, I'm going to tip City to win, because I can't believe that Pep Guardiola would have no response to what happened at Wembley yesterday. By the way, fair play to Arsenal for getting into the final. Arsene Wenger has been under incredible pressure, and he could win more trophies now than Klopp and Guardiola, and even Mourinho, perhaps, if they mess up in Europe. So Wenger might have the last laugh on all those top managers. But it's been an incredible season, both in the Irish League and the Premier League. And, of course, in Scotland, you've got Brendan Rodgers, the man from Carnlough, chasing a treble. His team got into the final yesterday whenever Celtic beat Rangers in the Scottish Cup semi, and then they're going to play Aberdeen in that final. So, listen, fascinating stuff, the football season, both in England, Scotland and Northern Ireland. It's been incredible to watch, and there could be some more twists and turns, as I said, to come.
Stephen, very well summed up. Thank you very much indeed. No doubt we'll talk to him again later in the week. Stephen Beacom, sports broadcaster, sports writer. That game between Chelsea and Spurs as well in the semi-final over the weekend was an amazing, some brilliant goals, an amazing match. And I must say, well done to Antrim. I tipped them against Carlow in the Christie Ring, and they did win. They won by 320 to 222. Downbeat Roscommon in that as well, so fair play. And of course, Galway can now fly the flag, as the Tribesmen seem to be the main team in the hurling at this present moment in time with their National League victory. So the summer sport is shaping up. But I was talking to a few fellas, including Neil, who's a friend of mine, who's on the management panel with the Antrim team, and they were sort of judging themselves against Carlow to some extent, especially going down there. They were hoping that they could get off to a good start after doing so well in the Championship against Armagh, and they managed to do it. So fair play, and maybe the embers are starting to light again in Antrim hurling. It's 20 past 11. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Good morning. The Frank